Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about episode 8 of RuPaul's Drag Race season 12. Now, I am not alone. Of course, with me is our wonderful panel, a man who will probably be selling his own line of droop products soon, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's always nice to be here and talk RuPaul's Drag Race with you guys on a nice, I was going to say Sunday morning, but we're not recording on Sunday morning. It's Monday, isn't it?
No one knows what day it is.
It's just
anymore.
Day. That's what it is, okay. Liana. It's a day.
Exactly. It is just another day. And of course, we're also here with someone who is so much more useful than Bob Harper was during that challenge. Woo! Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. Excited to come back and talk some Drag Race. It was an interesting week this time around. I feel like there's a lot to chew on this time.
Yeah, I think so, too. It was a really interesting challenge and some things that were new and different, especially, again, I can't get over Bob Harper being there, but fine, whatever. We'll talk about that later. But let's jump right into things and talk about what happened after the elimination, Brent. We get more of the sort of Jan, Madonna fallout and Britta being sent home and all of that craziness.
I call shade on this, on Jan, because like this was bullshit. It really was. Like, I think that I agree with Jada that she was upset that Britta went home. But I think that that was really fueling the underlying angst over constantly being safe and then having a challenge come up that she thought she was going to win, that everyone thought she was going to win. And then she gets egg on her face. I think that all of it was just bubbling to the surface. And I think that at a minimum that the anger over being over not winning was equivalent to the disappointment over her friend Britta leaving the competition.
Aman, do you share those same thoughts?
Yeah, I felt like the crying was strange to me, and I hate to be the guy that says that someone's emotions aren't real, but it just felt a little put on.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like she was it just felt so
fake.
Just very, very fake. And of course she's upset, but yeah, I mean, it probably did have a lot more to do with the fact that she was clearly the front runner going in and then she didn't get it. And it's the pressure of the competition is starting to get to her, because it's like week 8 now and she hasn't had any wins. So she's starting to feel like, you know, like what am I doing here? And of course, yeah, Britta going home on top of that, which I didn't even realize that those two were that close to begin with, but I'm sure that had more to do with the fact that she was she has still not been able to win a competition.
Yeah, I think to be fair, the only thing I really knew about Britta was that she was from New York and that she hated Aiden. So this was definitely character development for Britta, learning about her and Jan's relationship. But I totally agree. I didn't even understand why. I felt like almost Jan was using it, I don't want to say as like an excuse, but she almost like wouldn't let herself feel the feelings that she was having about not winning, which is totally allowed to feel bad.
Thank you.
And to cry about not winning. Like, that's allowed. I feel like it's just the perfectionist in her and that she just, you know, she can't be upset about it. Like, even that is just not even allowed.
I sometimes wonder if, because I've been reading a few people's opinions about the season and everything, and specifically with Jan, now that Britta is gone, some people are wondering if they're going to switch the villain lens over to Jan, because she hasn't won anything. And if other people keep winning ahead of her, it's going to make her look better and everything. Sometimes I wonder if she is sort of privy to that and is sort of trying to not give the producers what they want in that respect. So instead of crying about, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't win, like what am I doing wrong? Like what does Gigi have that I don't? Instead of giving the cameras that, she's just giving them emotionally damaged. I can't believe my best friend went home, and how am I supposed to go on in this competition, like striving for that underdog edit? I could be giving her too much credit, but I don't know. I've just seen that opinion a lot about the villain being put onto her. So I'm wondering if maybe she's, you know, she's the ultimate student of Drag Race. So you can never know.
That would be like four-dimensional chess. I don't know how she would even think of that. Although she did say the next day, I'm from New York.
Oh my God.
Which could be her stepping into the Britta role.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, we hate that. Yes, I agree with you, Liana. I wish she would have just owned it. What's wrong with being upset that you didn't win? I lost my freaking fifth grade spelling competition. I remember being upset that I didn't win. I went home crying to my mom and dad about it. Like, why the fuck can't she just say, like, Gigi, I love you, but like, I should have won that. I think everybody knows I should have won that, and I really wanted to win that, and I'm pissed about it, okay? Like, let me cry about it. Like, ugh.
Right, well, and that's the thing, is when you have all the other queens saying, I mean, even Jackie says in this episode, I'm surprised that this wasn't Jan's.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is shocked, then that almost feels like you can be, your feelings are even more valid because everyone around you is echoing the same sentiment that you're feeling inside. So yeah, that was really, really bizarre, like why she chose to kind of go with that narrative. But, you know, that's Jan's choice. It's her choice. No, that pun doesn't work. No, not even gonna try. Not even gonna try. All right, so we step into the next day and no video again, but we do get a mini challenge this time where we get a FabFitFun sponsorship, which Amon, do you think this is going to replace the reading challenge, or do you think it's in addition to the reading challenge?
I really hope that it does not replace the reading challenge, because, or maybe I'm speaking too soon. Maybe I just didn't particularly enjoy this challenge, because I felt like the girls weren't, like, I feel like a lot of the girls just were not talented enough to do things in this format. I feel like this requires a lot, not only, you know, the ability to throw shade, but the ability to improv, because a lot of the shade that you throw is coming off of the heat that you've been getting from the rest of your scene partners. And whereas with the reading challenge, you know, some of them were obviously pre-prepared. Some of them might be on the spot, but there's more time for you to sit and think about what you were going to say, as opposed to having to do an improv scene and be shady, because some of the comments just came off rude to me. I was just like, this isn't funny. You're just being a bitch. So I really hope that it's not a replacement.
Well, I hope it's not a replacement either. I don't think it will be. But also, I responded more positively to this than you guys. I mean, I especially feel like Jackie Cox and Gigi Good were really good at this. Like, I mean, I felt
they had a real great
handle. Now, I agree with your assessment, though. I hope it's not the reading challenge, because I did feel like some of the other queens were hiding. Like when there's four people in a scene, you can hide for a little while, you know? So I do hope that this doesn't replace the reading challenge, but I enjoyed this very much, and I enjoyed the RuPaul's Drag Race, you know, my Klein Epstein Parker suit and my Fit Fat Fun whatever book box of goodies, and I mean, whatever. At least
and
they
quick
own
drag.
It. Yeah, they own it, unlike Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, the that and Bubbly, whatever the other sponsors are for this season.
Yes.
I really liked this. I kind of felt like it was the reading challenge, but with props, was how I was like interpreting this. And I think it's because I thought Jackie did so well, because to be honest, I don't even remember what other people said. There were a few sort of like ho-hum lines there, but I felt like Jackie was just always serving it back. She had amazing comebacks, which I think just proved like how funny I think she is. Like, this is her type of comedy. This is the form that she works really well in. So overall, I enjoyed it. But yeah, I hope we get a legit reading challenge, because I did see some comparisons that were like, oh, what if this replaces it? Which I hope not.
Yeah, me too. I will say that Jackie had a structure, and she had a beginning, like a preamble, a meat of the bone in the middle, and then an ending. Whereas, like, I remember like Sherry and Widow, like, they didn't even have, like, I think they just stopped, and then like Heidi, and like did they have anything at the end? It was just like they just ended the editing right there. Like, I'm like, they might either they didn't have anything, or it actually was not funny.
Yeah, right. Well, that exactly. And like, it got cut in some weird way. It just felt like no one else was really particularly funny, which maybe makes, I don't know, maybe they're saving their good jokes for the reading challenge. Like, fingers crossed that that's the case. Okay, so our maxi challenge this week is Droop, where the queens have to create and market products for the new drag queen lifestyle brand Droop. Brent, what did you think about this challenge as a concept?
This is fun, but I think that any queen who is worth her salt should be prepared for a competition like this, because this is a challenge that they have done many, many, many times. This is the, red for filth of it all. Like, they always do some sort of commercial where you have to hawk some imaginary product. They do put lots of bells and whistles on it, but ultimately, at the end of the day, if you have a concept coming in, again, this is just like Snatch Game. You need to have a concept. Okay, if this kind of a challenge comes up, what am I going to be selling? what are some of the jokes that I can have? You like beforehand, you need to literally like go out to your friends, hire people to help you write jokes and write material to do with some imaginary product. You should be prepared for something like this. I do feel like Jackie, who I feel like should have won this challenge with her magic merkins, should have won this challenge because she was so prepared. Everything that happened, you cannot convince me that she thought of all of this on the spot. I think she had a lot of this ready to go from home. I think she knew exactly what she was going to do when this challenge came up. And I was so pleased to see it that some of the queens really succeeded here. I'm here for the unpredictable results that we got in this challenge.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, Amon, because it felt like Droop really had nothing to do with
nothing,
it. Kind of like Brent was saying, it's like this is just one of those marketing challenges that we've seen previously. We have to come up with a product and you have to sell your product.
Yeah, I like challenges like these because it forces them to show their personality. And even the queens that don't have a personality or that much of, you know, of a large personality, you have to amp it up in order to sell the product. So I like to see what it brings out of a lot of the queens. And you know, yeah, you gotta be a little witty. You gotta be, you know, off the cuff and just let the energy of the commercial just sort of overtake you. So I enjoy these because it does involve some scripting. It involves some acting. It involves some personality. All the things that Rue wants in her winner. And if you can make her laugh, then you're a shoo-in. So it sort of like really separates the girls from the women here.
And Amon, do you agree with my assessment, or Liana, both of you, like this, you can plan for this. You know that something like this is like 99% likely to come up at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I guess you can always, I think that you're always going to assume that there's some sort of acting-esque challenge where you're selling things. But at the same time, you never know what sort of resources are going to be available to you during the competition. Because I don't know if they're allowed to like pre-plan the looks for this or, you know what I mean?
Because yeah,
I don't think all of the queens were as prepared as Jackie was. I think that some of them sort of just came in and then just like put things together, which in a lot of ways might have been a bit of an advantage because when you become a little bit too polished, I mean, it's sort of like the critique that we've been giving Jan, or at least that I've been giving Jan at the beginning of the competition, is where it's like, if it's too much polish and not enough flavor, then you sort of left at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I would love to interview a contestant from RuPaul's Drag Race, especially in the later seasons, because I would love to know if like the producers tell them ahead of time, because we know, for those of you who don't follow RuPaul's Drag Race a lot, the producers tell them ahead of time, like, these are a list of challenges that may appear on RuPaul's Drag Race, and here's what you should be prepared for. Here's the kind of runways that you're going to need. You're going to need a Madonna look. You're going to need a black look. You're going to need, you know, these kind of looks, okay? But I would love to know for something like this, if they tell them ahead of time, okay, there may be a challenge that comes up like this. And if so, these are the things that are available to be used by the props on RuPaul's Drag Race. Because they always have these props, you know what I mean? I would love to know if that's something that they know ahead of time or if it's just something that they just sort of have to deal with on the fly. I would hope it's the former, but it may not be.
Because I'm wondering if it's like, you know, because I mean, for Heidi's commercial, she had like a whole little bottle that had Heidi's hydration like printed on it, like a label. So it's like, did you print those labels off at home or did you have to get that done while you were on set? So it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think so Jackie, we know, is a prepared queen, right? Like she was talking in that one Untucked about how you can prepare for Snatch Game. And I do agree with you, Brent. I feel like she kind of had a concept and had an idea probably before going into this. And you could bring, if you need small props, okay, maybe you don't have everything, but at least you have a general concept of what would be the product that I would try to market. And maybe it's entirely possible that Jan had, I'm going to sell some sort of Jan spray that like gives you, even though we've seen it a couple times now, gives you like this energy.
So
it could have been a thing that she like thought of there, or maybe brought. I don't know. But yeah, it definitely feels like a challenge that you could have prepared for. I think if you're making a list of things, Snatch Game for sure, learn how to freaking sew. Even if it's just basic, bring your patterns. You're definitely going to have to sew something. You're probably going to have to make something out of unique materials. That's challenging because like you never know what materials you're going to bring. But even if you just have some practice making things and just creating stuff, like, you know, you could theoretically prepare. Like maybe I'm an over over-preparer in general. Yeah, so I right. love the concept of like trying to prepare for stuff. But
see, I'm like the opposite. Like I am.
You're like, I got this.
I procrastinate. Well, not even that I got it. I just procrastinate. And then I just let the pressure of everything, of having to get everything done, just like take me through. And it works a lot of the time. Try it, Liana. You should try it.
Okay, maybe one day I'll like liberate myself. Just try it. But anyway, but yeah. So okay, all right. Okay, so Bob Harper, Brett.
Yeah,
talk to me about how you felt about Bob being here for both the walkthrough and then ultimately the filming of the challenge.
I mean, he's not scintillating television, is he? I mean, I really feel like the show could have used Ross or Carson in this role. Even Michelle would have been better. Even Rue herself would have been better in this role. I don't think that Bob was necessarily needed. I mean, for the walkthrough, fine. Whatever, Rue wants somebody to banter with, and Bob is a cute little daddy, so fine. But to have him then run the entire commercial too, and it also didn't seem like he really understood sometimes what the queens were going for, whereas I feel like I understood it quicker than him. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. And also, like, what you're looking for in a great director for a challenge on RuPaul's Drag Race is somebody that acts as a stand-in for the audience, okay? So Bob is there to be a stand-in for us, to let us know what to laugh at, okay? Because that's how the show does its editing. So they cut to Bob every time they want us to know, oh, this was really good. This was really funny. We should be laughing at this, okay? But Bob's not really good outwardly at doing that. Like, the way Bob laughs... And it's very hard for me to do this audioly, is that he's like, like, it's really quiet laughter where he like he convulses into himself rather than outwardly guffawing, which would then like come off very well from a TV editing standpoint. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, totally. I did sort of, because before I was just going to call him lackluster, but I think that that's more of an appropriate assessment of the behaviors. Like I felt like he was into it and I felt like he was there to help them, but I felt like his critiques were rather, first of all, who is he? I don't know who he is.
He's from The Biggest Loser.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's like a personal trainer from The Biggest Loser. That's what I know him from.
Yeah, that's what I know him from too, but I'm looking him up to see if there's anything else about him.
So they brought a personal trainer to help with a commercial.
He was also an advisor on the new Celebrity Apprentice. Rest in peace.
Oh, really?
That's what it says.
Still lost.
It says.
Still lost on the expertise here.
It says, okay. I'm looking at Wikipedia. It says Robert Harper is an American personal trainer, reality TV personality, and author. He appears on the American television show The Biggest Loser. He was an advisor on the new Celebrity Apprentice. So, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Well, so that's the thing, Amon. That's what I'm 100% with you here. It was like he is somebody who is known for like The Biggest Loser, getting people to lose weight, working out. He writes books about working out. Yep. And it was like, okay, what if maybe if they were trying to design like a workout product, like that workout challenge they did in season 3? But I was like, I don't get why he is here.
Yeah, that seemed like it was he's a big fan of the show, or RuPaul is a big fan of him, and they were out to brunch one day in West Hollywood and they was like, you should be on next season. Yeah, let's find you a spot. And then here we are. So
yeah, that sounds closer to probably how that went down. Okay, so I did a little bit more digging and I found you are correct, Brent. He was an advisor, but for one episode.
Oh dear, well that's terrible. Wikipedia, please, like, get your shit together. Come on.
Yeah, and guess what? It was for a health food brand challenge.
There we go.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's closer to his scope of expertise.
So just branding. They thought that he had some branding expertise. But it's a drag competition, so we don't need somebody that's an expert in branding. We needed somebody that's an expert in like personality branding and all of that. Like,
yeah, maybe
like,
this could have been something where like Rue was doing a favor, because you know Bob Harper, like there was a time, like I know Bob Harper because when I watched The Biggest Loser, he was not out. He was a straight guy, okay, or at least not gay. He was definitely not gay. And then he came out in like I think 2012, like 2000. It was like 5 years, 6 years ago.
Oh damn!
Wikipedia says he came out or the episode aired in 2013. Like, he's only been out for like
he's a gaby.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, Amon, you know, like, I mean, 7 years, that's not a long time. Like, he's still
especially for that, he's living to be that like late in life.
I know men who have come out late in life at, or in their, I say late in life, but like mid-age, basically, like the age I am now, like 45, 50, and you're coming out, and like, it's like they're teenagers, because they revert back. Anyway, the point being, I'm sure he's living his best life now. I hope he had a good time, and maybe this was just a favor to him.
Right. And to be honest, like, I watched The Biggest Loser. I like him in that sphere. And I think there's definitely a way that he could be incorporated into the show that would be super, super fun. I just feel like this was not necessarily the place.
Yeah, doing commercials, huh?
I think honestly what it is that Drag Race is becoming more and more popular. I mean, this was a star studded guest judging panel, so they have so much more reach to all different types of people in the Hollywood sphere that, you know, not all of them are going to be 100% a hit. You know what I mean? Some of them are going to be a bit of a miss. And I think that's just something that I guess we'll just have to expect for future seasons of Drag Race as it gets more and more popular and more celebrities of all walks of entertainment are going to want to come in and get some of the action.
And be really into voguing right now.
Oh, don't remind me. Vanessa.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Is there anything that you guys want to talk about either the walkthrough or the filming? Or we can just get right into everything.
I mean, I thought I was really annoyed that after the first take in Jackie's trick, that the boy wasn't, like, Bryce, who I follow on Twitter, wasn't ready to go with the box of magic merkins the second time around on the magic trick. And I also, like, wait, is Bob, like, an idiot? Like, I mean, let me look him up. How old is he?
He's 54.
He's older than me, and I know what I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched is, so he should know. And of course, I'm a fan of like shows like this, you know, like I have like an entire bedroom devoted to Charmed, for God's sake. So I love like everything to do with this sort of magic and, you know, editing tricks with like the, you know, it's there, it's not. I love shit like that. Like, I instantly knew what she was doing here. I couldn't believe like the straight boy on the pit crew, Bryce, is just standing there like, honey, like, get with the program here. We need the box of magic merkins. So that was fun.
Yeah, like, are you slow, boy?
And Bob, when he said, please move at a glacial place, you know how that thrills me. From The Devil Wears Prada.
Was a good line.
Loved it.
I really thought, based off of what we saw from Gigi in the filming stage, that she was in serious trouble. I think that the editing really made me believe that, oh, this might be her time to be in the bottom. But
yeah, I was trying to figure out, okay, who are they showing failing that will succeed? That was like what I was trying to guess. I think Jackie's will turn out well. I think that's probably definitely a red herring. I didn't know if Heidi's was going to be. That was the one that I was a little on the fence. Her lines where she's just herself, the put the lotion on the skin or she gets the hose again line, just like, I was laughing so hard. I wanted that to be in her eventual commercial, but we didn't get to see that. So that was kind of interesting to like see the failures and then some turn into successes and some obviously not.
Yeah,
I really feel like Drag Race is really becoming sort of similar to Survivor in the sense that Survivor is very aware of its fan base and how we analyze all of the edits. So they try and switch it up and try and, you know, put new types of story arcs in there to throw us off about who might be getting sent home. And I think that Drag Race is becoming similar to that in that they are giving us heavy-handed edits for some people just to make us think one way, and then we get surprised during the judging, and it's just a lot. And I just feel like it's becoming so meta a lot of the time.
Well, that, and this season is extra complicated because of Cherry Pie.
Right.
So, you know, whatever they were trying to do, then if they have to throw in extra stuff or, you know, like try to sort of fill out where her filming segment would have been, you know, so it's like interesting to see kind of the decisions they're making. But
right.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Before we get to the runway and everything, we get to see some impressions, which I thought was really funny. I don't really have anything to say, but that was a nice, I thought, little mirror moment, Amon.
Yeah, I enjoyed the only one that I thought was really spot on was Jackie's impression of Crystal. I heard it. I heard it, man.
I
love it when we get stuff like this, because it just, you know, it just reminds you that these queens have been spending a lot of time together. They've been, you know, these are the only people that they've been seeing besides the judges for a number of weeks. And so it's nice to see the camaraderie form, even in the midst of all the shade and the competition. It's always nice to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like, which I can't do over an audio podcast, but Jada, was it Jada's? Her representation of Aiden when she just like stood there.
Yeah.
And there was the little shade music. I loved it.
So fun. All right. Before we talk about the runway and all of the commercials, let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back. Okay, to the runway, where Chaka Khan is our guest. Felt like she was super high.
Super high. Oh my God. Girl.
I couldn't tell if, I mean, I didn't even think about that until you said it, because I remember watching her and listening to her critiques and be like, this lady is so mellow. Like, I don't know a lot about Chaka Khan. My parents grew up listening to her, but in terms of, you know, like her career and her personal life and how she is as a person, I've never really seen any interviews of her. I've never seen any of her live performances. I've only ever heard her voice. And so based off of her voice, I would assume that she's sort of like this larger than life personality, but she was so, so chill. And I was like,
it wasn't just that. It was the fact that, like, she was chill, but also, like, if you look at her quote-unquote critiques, I don't think any sentence was longer than five words, Liana. Like, I mean, yeah. I half the time, I couldn't even really understand what she said. Like, she was so quiet and so, like, that's good. Like, you just, it would, are you with me on this?
Oh yeah. And like, they have the benefit of, this is not live, right? This is edited. You can edit out like the pauses before she says something. Yes. And even then it still felt like there was so much being done.
I mean, the entire point of Jackie's commercial was about selling a merkin, and when they got to her for the critique, she was like, what's a merkin?
I love that they left that in, and I'm so glad, because I know that there are people out there who are like, what is a merkin? I know that's true. So I love that was in there. And I love that she was honest enough to ask the question, what the fuck's a merkin? You know, like, I mean, like, because like, it's not something you hear every day and some people don't know what it is. But most of the time I felt like I didn't feel like she was that engaged. But again, it's like, it's Chaka Khan, so we don't fucking care. She looks gorgeous and we're living for her, so who cares?
I felt similarly. I felt like a lot of the time she wasn't, you know, as engaged as some of the other guest judges, but I also appreciated that when she was engaged, she was engaged. You know what I mean? Like, there were clearly certain queens that she took a liking to, and she made that known, and she wasn't afraid to make that known. So,
mm-hmm.
And she was go ahead, very Liana. Complimentary yeah. of the contestants. You're great.
So before we talk about the contestants, I want to know, at what point during the critiques did you become aware of the fact that it was going to be Jan that sent home a week after she almost definitely should have won the Madonna challenge? At what point in time did you realize, oh my God, it might be Jan?
I think when they started giving Widow her critiques.
Okay, Liana?
Because...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
It was Jan first that sort of had a rough patch.
Yes. And then Gigi.
But I thought if anything was going to be like, oh, it's fine. Like, she gave them too much.
Yeah.
But they're not going to send home a girl for giving them too much. And then when they gave Gigi her critiques, I was like, ooh, snap. Gigi's definitely going to be on the bottom. But then when they got to Widow, I was like, oh, you know what they're going to do? They're going to put Widow in the bottom. Because they're not going to want to put Gigi in the bottom, and they're going to put Jan next to her, and one of them's about to go home.
Liana, what about you?
Yeah, I think I was pretty similar to that, because I thought, so I heard Gigi doing poorly, but the edit and just the way that the story was constructed, I didn't feel like she was necessarily in trouble really, because I think if you're going to put your front runner in the bottom, we're going to get more of that. And if they would send her home. I knew she wasn't going to go home. Like, there was no way Gigi was going to go home. So when Widow got her negative critiques, I was like, oh, Widow is definitely in the bottom, but Widow can lip sync her ass off. I was like, Widow is going to beat whomever she's up against. And when it was Jan,
she already beat Gigi in the first episode.
That's true. But I think, like, they weren't going to put Gigi next to her. So that was why I thought, I was like, okay, it's going to be Widow and Jan. Just because I never felt like Gigi was in trouble, even though she was getting bad critiques, right, if that makes sense.
I will say that I was watching the editing, and there were moments where we got cutaways to Jan when other queens were getting critiques. I think it was as early as Jada or even Gigi, where they said some positive things about Gigi occasionally, like her runway, or Jada overall. And we cut to Jan, and all we got was stank face from Jan. Like, the entire time, every time we cut to Jan, it was stank face. And I'm like, oh my God, they are throwing her under the bus. She's going to go home a week after she should have won. Like, it's like a car crash, and I couldn't look away. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I'm on the fence about Jan. Okay, Jan should have gone home this episode. Okay, like, I'm okay ultimately with the way that it shook out, because part of me is like, the judges were not feeling Jan, and I would rather have Jan go now than continue to be dragged along behind the bus. You know, like, I know that there are a lot of people like, it was too early for Jan to go. It was too early for Jan to go. But I'm at peace with it.
Yeah, me too.
It sucks that it was after she, you know, theoretically, I think, should have won. I think a lot of it, you know, yeah, we debated it. But, like, it was tough. But at the same time, I'm okay with that. And that's as someone who is a Jan fan. I like Jan, but I thought, I'm okay with this, her being gone at this moment.
I was just gonna say really quickly that the results of this challenge were really funky. This was like, there was there was a time where I competed in speech and debate, where like I was in like the finals, and there were eight of us, and in order to get to the finals, you had to like have seven people. So we couldn't have eight, we had to have seven, so we had to knock somebody out. And there were four of us that had what were called downvotes. So we had had a bad round at some point. So then we did another round, and they divided us up two and two, and we had another round. And all of the people that had downvotes got upvotes, and all of the people that had upvotes got downvotes. So we all ended up with one downvote. We had to go to another round. That's what this round of RuPaul's Drag Race felt like, because every contestant who I felt like was in the lower tier of RuPaul's Drag Race, In terms of Heidi and Crystal, and I'm missing somebody else too. Just the people that normally don't do as well, or who we don't see in the finals of RuPaul's Drag Race, they all did fantastic. Like, there was no cannon fodder for Ru to put into the bottom two. There, she had to put two names into the bottom two, and I feel like that's what gave us this Jan Widow bottom two lip sync, because the results of the challenge just demanded it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like this season in particular is something that Drag Race fans are not used to, in that there are quite a lot of good contestants on this season, and not only just talent wise, but personality wise as well. Because we're used to the usual story of the lesser queens with smaller voices, yep, going home.
Thank you.
That's not the case this time around. There's so many big personalities, and even when we had a smaller personality, she still got pushed through so many times. Like, Aiden was there for much longer than her counterparts have ever been. I feel like she might actually be one of the most popular quiet contestants, maybe with the exception of Cameron Michaels, because she was there for so long. And I just feel like all the things that we know about character progression and story arcs on this particular season is sort of just thrown out of the window. So when you have somebody like Widow and like Jan in the bottom two, when there's what, like eight queens left, we're all sort of like sitting here like, oh my God, like, it's kind of crazy that Jan is going home right now. But I feel like we'd be saying the same thing about Widow if Widow had gone home. So It's really, I mean, this is how Drag Race really should be, in my opinion. You should not have cannon fodder. You should not be casting for people that are just throwaway people, because what's the point in that? That's stupid.
Yeah.
If you want engaging television and you want engaging competition, have more seasons like this where there are literally think pieces being written about every episode because nobody can set their story straight on who should have been the one to go home because there's no clear-cut answer yet. So I was devastated to see Jan be in the bottom because I just felt like she has been trying so hard all season long. And I could feel that passion, but at the same time, like, if that's the way I echo you, Yuliana. Like, I was okay with it in the end because, I mean, her commercial sort of was very all over the place. And even the lip sync, which we can talk about later on, it, a little all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just how it goes this week.
Okay, well, let's go through each of the contestants because Brent or Aman, I like completely echo the point about everybody is so good. And okay, I didn't watch the episode live because like everybody else who's a Big Brother fan, I was watching the Big Brother's Quester. But this was like one of the first episodes where I felt like I have no idea who is going to go. Whereas with some of the previous episodes, I can at least point out maybe one or two girls who I feel like are really in danger. Maybe it would have been Heidi and Crystal for this episode.
Yeah.
But even then, I feel like they're so strong. So
yeah, I agree with Aman. I'm really glad you said that, Aman, because that is the truth. Like, there are no weak queens to me. Like, I mean, there are queens with lesser money, maybe less, mm-hmm. lesser name coming in, you know. Crystal's from the St. Louis area, but Crystal is phenomenal, as we'll talk about. Mm-hmm. She is absolutely mm-hmm. phenomenal, and she takes the critiques of the judges and she gets how to play the game. So I'm really psyched about this cast and that there are really no weak links. And I almost have to slap myself from an editing standpoint and be like, okay, Brent, this is not same old RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, there's no cannon fodder here. Like, get with the program.
Yeah, you definitely have to mm-hmm. learn to like watch it in a new way with our super fandom aside. Okay. Like, just like, I just have to tell myself, like, Liana, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, stop right. trying to read it. Just shut up and enjoy it. Okay. Brent, let's talk about Jackie, because
let's
you said that
her.
She should have won this challenge. Yeah, tell me why.
I think she should have. I know there's an argument to be made that you wanted to give it to the comeback story of the year with Heidi after she was lip syncing and all of that. But still, I feel like the person who was the most prepared, who had the most material, who had the most jokes, who had the most concept, who had taglines, who had catchphrases, who had beginnings and endpoints, who knew exactly what her concept was and how it was going to go. And frankly, the person who was the least dependent on fancy editing to get her shit done. Like, everything that she did came from within her. Okay. There were no, it wasn't like a cutaway to something else or interesting just Jan on the screen, just Jan, you know, like things that were happening with the video. It was all Jackie, you know, obviously one point where she does the little magic trick, but that was like, I love that. And I knew, here's the thing. I love the fact that Jackie is well aware of the fact that RuPaul is the age that he is and likely grew up around the time where, you know, Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie were on television. RuPaul loves shit like this. This is exactly up RuPaul's alley. Same thing as we'll talk about later with Crystal and the mullet of it all. Like, you, if you know what the judge likes, give them more of it. And I love the fact that she did this and really played up the magic trick and the Middle Eastern aspect of it all with the Merkins and the jokes and just as an overall concept, it should have won. I'm a little annoyed that it didn't, but I love Heidi so much that I'm not mad about it.
Aman, where do you fall in this debate?
I liked it. I thought it was cute. I didn't laugh as much as Brent may have laughed, but that's probably because the references, while I appreciate them and while I can understand that they're clever, it's just not something that I'm like familiar with. So I was sort of just like, okay. But she was obviously very prepared. Everything landed. Everything was set up in the way that it, like, she had a whole concept. She knew what she wanted to do before she got there. And that really should be commended. Like, I think that, you know, like I said before, I feel like maybe that might have been a bit of a detriment, because it's like, if you had this all prepared and you like had been like rehearsing this when you got the call to be on the show, maybe it loses some of its magic in that. But
it's magic Merkin.
Yeah,
if you
maybe the Merkin has been rubbed one too many times.
I think I'm probably more on the Brent camp here. I think Jackie should have won. And it's not because I laughed the most at hers, but I thought hers was, it was still funny. It was the most polished overall product that got delivered at the end. And while I thought Heidi's was fun, and I thought, you know, especially with the tears, it just felt like Jackie's was well thought out and it was well planned and everything kind of fit. And the repeated "for you," I thought was really funny. So I think I probably would have gone with Jackie overall as the winner here.
And she was the only one, Liana, that had the little, like, you know, I can't even do what it was, but the little announcer voice at the end speaking really softly saying, you know, may cause side effects, you know, make sure to check with the doctor before using this product, like things like that at the end. Like, I love that. Again, that's an old timey, like, you know, 1980s television kind of thing. And I love that she brought that in.
Right. And that's the thing is that it was this nice, tight package. Yep. And she wasn't even wearing the
package.
Yeah, I was gonna say she wasn't even wearing the lingerie tux from Jada.
She definitely had the strongest concept out of all of them, and for that alone she probably should have snagged the win. Mm-hmm. I just think that, I don't know, I just feel like it, maybe I'm sort of like eating my words from last week, because my whole critique about Gigi versus Jan last week was that Jan had everything going for her. And in this particular instance, Jackie has everything going for her. But for whatever reason, I enjoyed Heidi's more, maybe because of the energy that was behind it. I don't know. But I guess you could probably say the same thing about Gigi last week. There was just a certain kind of energy that people resonated with more with Gigi. So I guess I'm eating crow right now.
No, I mean, I think also part of it is this is ultimately a competition where your personality plays a huge role in who you just sort of naturally associate, vibe, and like. And I think, you know, everybody has their own feelings on that. And I think that this was probably a tight competition also. And so I think, you know, there were a number of queens. Like, I also could have seen Jada winning. Like, I really liked, yes, Jada's as well.
Yes.
So
I thought Heidi was actually number three here. Let's wait till we get to her to talk about her. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the runway look that we see from Jackie. So the theme this week was, what was it? Like, black wedding? Yes, black
the
wedding.
The bride
themed.
Who wore or black, something like that.
Yes. Okay. Here is, look. Black on the runway, on TV, on RuPaul's Drag Race, when it is all black, it's just so challenging to see a lot of the really beautiful details, yeah, in the gowns. And so while there were like some fabulous looks this week, it was just really frustrating because I felt like I couldn't see a lot of this, Amon.
Yeah, I honestly was just like, they all look good to me. Like, I really can't say anything negative, partly because the silhouettes all look stunning, and also because if there's anything that I might not have liked, I can't see it. So
yeah,
I thought Jackie's dress was beautiful. Beautiful.
I agree with that. I will say that, again, my one critique of Jackie, and I guess this is just her brand, is that I don't know how a young twinkie, you know, 25-year-old manages to always look like a 55-year-old, you know, Miami housewife or New York housewife. Like, how does she age herself 30 years every time? Even when she's on the runway, she does that. That's what she does. So, okay. But I agree with your assessment, Liana. Sorry, I just hit my mic. That why it got to be black of it all. Like, I couldn't see, like, what was happening with some of the outfits. A lot of the really interesting embellishments on the runway, I felt like we're lost, especially in some of the away shots. Yes, we got to see some of them really up close, but that's not what you're like, your mind doesn't really take that in. Your mind takes it in when you're looking at, like, an entire, you know, top to bottom shot, and we love a good top to bottom shot. So come on, like, give us more of that.
Right. And it might be something that in person, maybe it looks great, but it definitely doesn't translate to TV. Yeah. And we've seen this before, which is kind of what makes me really frustrated, because I'm like, we've been new. We know that this doesn't work.
Yeah.
Stop. So whatever. But yeah, I thought Jackie looked amazing. And, you know, she told a story, which is something she was complimented on, which, you know, I wasn't there. I didn't really get the story. I didn't read it. But,
right.
You know, good for her. Good for her. All right, Brent, next up we have Jan. And what did you feel about her video and look?
I think she was trying, and I think she's a couple things. I think that at some point in her life, somebody has said, like, oh, we need to be feeling the Jantasy of it all. Like, she thinks that that sounds interesting. I don't think it sounds interesting. I think it sounds like Gen City. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Gen City, all right? But you don't know what I'm talking about. You need to watch Big Brother 14. That's what I heard every time she said that. I didn't understand what she was saying. I know she wasn't really saying Gen City, but it did not sound like Jantasy. It sounded like Jantasy. Like, it was a made-up word. So, beyond that, I agree with the judges that I feel like she falls into the trap that a lot of people I see, and I see other podcasters, not in the RHJP network, but just like outside, I've seen people do this, who have the same sort of tone the entire time. And you cannot be like this the entire time, talking like this, because after a while, it gets really grating to people. And I know that there are times where I can go off on rants and sound like that, but you know, like the rants last like a minute and then they come down. But her in particular, like it was the entire commercial. It was the same intonation, the same everything, the same energy level. And because she started off at, you know, 5,000%, it had nowhere to go but down as it went on, as the judges pointed out. And by the end of it, it's like, I felt like I ran a marathon. I also felt like the Shurjan I think it was Shurjan cutting across the screen. I felt like that was not as funny as she wanted it to be. In fact, I didn't laugh at all. Because I've heard Shurjan 1,000 times, and also the way they said it on the screen or the way it came off wasn't like the meme that we all know and love, which is Shurjan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was
too much Jan. Too much Jan. She is really, really branding herself. That is, she wants everybody to remember that. She wants everybody to, I mean, even off the screen, like, Jan's tweets come up more than anybody else's. Ooh, on my timeline. And I only follow one queen from this season. And it's not because I haven't tried to like follow them all. It's just that I've only gotten around to following one and I just keep forgetting to follow the others. And it's Heidi. And yet, Jan's tweets are everywhere. I see every lip sync song that has been done this season. She has her own version of it. And I see it everywhere until the next one comes out in the following week. She is really being a brand, and she wants to have the name recognition. She wants to flood your psyche with all things Jan, and it really just does not work because you're not selling Jan. You're supposed to be selling something else using Jan. And I just feel like she had so, like, I agree with Michelle's critique in that she just sort of like, it was a Shurjan spray where you could spray. If you're sitting at home, you just spray it on yourself and all of a sudden you're accepting awards and winning money. Or if you can't sing, you just spray it in your mouth and then all of a sudden you can sing. It just felt like she was like, if you want to be like me, get this spray. And I'm like, but we don't want to be like you. I don't know who told you that. And I love her. I do. But like, I just don't. I think that she really, really missed the mark here. Yeah. I just didn't get it. I really wanted to be into it, but I was just like, you did this last week and the week before. And like, I don't know.
I echo that. I also felt like the video was kind of out of order. Like, it felt weird to have the, okay, super high energy Jan. And then, have you ever felt this way?
Yes.
Isn't it supposed to go the other way?
Yes.
Be, have you ever felt this? Well, I'm here. I'm feeling the Jantasy. Like, help you feel your Jantasy. So that was just confusing.
Yeah, like, I agree with you. That's a great point, Liana. Like, start off with the, have you ever felt this way? And then cut to, you know, hey, are you talking like this? You know, like, I mean, like, it would have been like, oh, like, it would have grabbed your attention. You know what I mean? Where, mm-hmm. like, that would have been interesting. But going the other way is weird.
And yeah. the name of it is just off-putting. Like, I feel like if you were gonna have a spray named Shurjan, then have the spray be like a bullshit detector. Sell a bullshit detector. You can spray, like, if you feel like a man cheating on you, take this spray it on his face. And get your life, boo. Like, you know, get to the truth. Get to the tea. You want the true tea? Just get some Sure Jan, and it's all going to come to light.
Spray it on
people.
That
would have been hilarious.
And it said, and all of a sudden you'll be like, Sure Jan. Like, I mean, that would have worked so well.
Mm-hmm. She's also in a kitchen for some reason at the beginning. Like, bitch, why are you in a kitchen in like a party gown? I don't get it. But okay. I don't know. Maybe she was just thrown because she lost last week or something. But I really didn't like it.
I didn't either.
As you can tell.
I didn't either.
Her look on the runway, though, was that smoke coming out of the flowers?
It was coming from her.
It was coming from her. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was coming out of the flowers that she was holding in front of her. But I couldn't tell what it was, again, because it's all black.
Right. Yeah, that was a little confusing. I mean, it was a gorgeous, like, they were all really gorgeous gowns.
Yeah, they were.
I think
hers was my favorite of the night.
Hers was my favorite, I think.
Of all of them.
Maybe. I really loved Heidi's, though, too. And Jada looked amazing. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, this is what happens when everything's all black. Okay, it's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah, and then she had the I don't written on the back of that, which I thought was, that was kind of cool. But yeah, it's kind of hard to tell the detailing. Like, she's got the feathers and kind of like some tulle sticking out in front, but it's just hard to see what it's just really hard to see, like, right where the neckline is, all of the details there. So not black. Okay, different color wedding. All right. Next time. All right, Jada is our next queen up, and Brent, you thought she did really well, right?
Boy, this bitch has talent. Oh my God, I'm living for her. Like, if Widow doesn't win, I'm really hoping it's maybe Jada. I mean, I'd be fine with a Gigi win at the end, but like, I really love what Jada's giving us. She has such panache, such pizzazz. I know she kept hitting her microphone, and I was literally yelling at my screen. I was literally at home yelling at my screen going, stop hitting your microphone. God damn it.
Oh, that was so triggering. Oh, yeah.
So triggering, because we couldn't hear. And I feel like the editors also played with us a little bit, where like they intentionally took the volume down every time she hit her microphone, just to like give us that sense of, you know, her stop hitting her microphone. But overall, like I actually forget what her concept was, but I know I loved her. Like, she was fantastic. She was just her lines and the way she opened had such a grab your attention. Demanded your attention when she came on the screen, and the way her face moves and the way her eyes move just invite me in. And she has lots of light and shade to her voice, which is something that Jan really didn't have. And of course, the fact that this came like right after it made me think even more how I wish Jan had had some difference of intonation during throughout the commercial, or at least not drag as it goes along. But I felt like Jada's sort of built a little bit, and anything that she was selling, I would have bought.
Hers was the Lajura tux. It was the like tucking.
Oh yes,
panties that are made out of the silk of the Amazon or Dragazon.
When they cut to her in the Amazon, I literally peed myself, and the look on her face, like. It was so funny. And I know that she asked for that. Like, that was part of her thing. Okay, I want to do this, and then I want to cut to a jungle. Like, I mean, like, oh my God, that was so good.
My favorite thing was her opening line of the, Jada Essence Hall, the terrible actress in Grey's Anatomy. And I know that Ross pointed that out too, but I thought that was the highlight. Like, that got me entertained.
Yeah, that made me love her more. I'm like, oh my God, okay, you get it. We love you. Yeah.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys just said. I think that, I mean, and the fact that it was a product that was actually a bit on the realistic side, which that really does do you a lot of favors, because if it's something that you could actually consider buying, but then you make this ridiculous commercial out of it, it's like, I will actually buy this because it's actually practical and I'm being entertained. So what the hell? I'll get one. Like, I would buy one, and I'm not a freaking drag queen. I don't need to tuck nothing. So
it's monogrammed.
Yes.
So fabulous. And then on the I thought she's so freaking gorgeous. It's just not
her
fair.
Arms look
she's
so good
pretty
in that dress.
She looks so good. Oh, one day. That's my goal, to be as pretty as she is. I thought it was a sort of a classic silhouette, Brent, but it still looked really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I've just come to accept the fact that it's basically impossible for Jada to look anything but amazing on the runway of RuPaul's Drag Race. She's just got it. And I'm so excited to see how this finishes, because especially with, like, as we've talked about before, it might have been Gigi versus Sherry, and it's not anymore. So I love the fact that we may get a different ending here than what we were expecting. But I also want to point this out. I said this last week, and I'm not throwing you, either of you, under the bus. I kind of forget how you responded to me. But I was pointing out the fact that the RuPaul's Drag Race is different now. Like, it's not like it was like back in like season 6, season 7, where somebody can just march to the end, because they have to make it through a gauntlet at the end of a final four, where it's a lip sync and in front of an audience, and the audience is going to fact check Rue. So she's going to have to call them as she sees them in the moment. And like, I'm so glad to hear during this episode, Widow and Jada both say, like, it's just about making it to the top four. It's just about making it to the top four. Anything can happen once you get there. Like, I mean, they so much as said that in this episode. And I love that the queens have adapted to the reality of the way RuPaul's Drag Race is these days, because it's not possible, like someone for Bianca Del Rio to just march her way to the end. Or, you know, Raja from season 3, or Sharon Needles. Like, you're going to have to make it through something. And if some queen comes out there and just blows you the fuck away in some lip sync, you're gone at the end. It's not your season. So I love the fact that they're aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've seen a couple seasons now where the presumptive front runner doesn't end up winning, you know, like who you would have picked based on challenges. And I think that also fuels kind of how you're interpreting the road to the finale.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yes. Okay. Gigi is up next. The only thing I liked about Gigi's was when she opened with, "Hi, I'm better than you," which I think is how I'd love to open every single conversation I have with people now. Apart from that, it was really clunky, Amon, and it was not so good.
It just did not have a lot of, like, this commercial, what she delivered in this commercial was what I was expecting her to deliver, like, through most of the competition based off of what we saw in the preseason. I was like, oh, this girl's going to just be resting on her laurels. She's going to be the pretty one, and that's about it. And when it comes to performing, she's not going to give it to us. But no, the girl actually has some chops. So I'm not sure what happened this week with her. I don't know if she was just, like, not in it, or if she felt, maybe she felt the pressure of having won so many competitions. So now she's like, I don't want to win again. I don't know. Like, it just felt so strange, because the whole concept was just it wasn't interesting. Like, it was supposed, like, it was a sleeping aid, but none of the jokes were funny. I'm not really sure what was going on with her this time around.
Yeah. Same. I think she just missed the mark here. Like, I'm sort of looking back again, this is so weird. It was like a total juxtaposition of what we expected to have happen. I expected Crystal and Heidi to probably suffer here. At least one of them would end up in the bottom two. I expect Gigi at a minimum would be like safe or in the top. And that didn't happen. I'm sure Rue was surprised as the rest of us to watch this commercial and think there were no jokes. It wasn't that funny. It didn't have a great concept from beginning to end. And it was really clunkily delivered to the point where I was like thinking she might be on something. Like, what happened here? This is not like, Gigi's really talented. In fact, even some of these queens that struggled are really talented. Like, why did Widow struggle as much as she did? Like, I don't think
maybe Gigi and Shaka Khan were back there smoking before.
Maybe. Before. Might be.
I will say, though, it did kind of make me like Gigi a little bit more, because I was like, aha, you do have a weakness.
Yeah, that's fair. That's take fair. That. Yeah, I like that.
But then, you know, the judges definitely did not think she had a weakness when she came out on the runway. Like, I have it pulled up where Rue goes, oh, my God, Michelle, so pretty. Rue, so gorgeous. Ross, next level.
They were just like, okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Amon. Tell me what's going on here.
I'm not a big fan of dresses like this in general. My eyes don't like the whole skin tight flat top part with the poofy poofy skirt. I've never really been a big fan of that. So that's just there. I mean, she looks great. She always looks great. But I just felt like in comparison to some of the other dresses that we saw on the runway, I was like, really? Next level? I thought this is so...
You guys.
Like, I guess when it comes to Gigi, she's always going to be awarded for less is more. And I don't know why that is.
It's the waist. It's the Violet Chachki of it all. Do you not get that? I mean, that's what this is about. It's about
she
the...
She doesn't even... If we're okay, so if it's about the waist, she didn't look that much thinner than Jada.
But she's
Jada was a stick.
But she's giving us that. Like I feel like the silhouette here really accentuates the fact that she's so cinched in at the waist and it's so jutting out from the hips, and that is just like that is like candy to RuPaul and Michelle. Like they love.
So
shit
once
like
again,
this.
It's about her being skinny yep. and nothing
totally,
else.
Totally, totally. I own that. Yes. Yes.
I feel like she's not, maybe just because it's black and I can't really tell, but I feel like she's not even, I mean, she's obviously very cinched, but it's not like the Violet Chachki gag, but I can see then, I mean, I understand that's why they're gagging over this, even though I don't get it. It's not even, I can think of like three, I like Jan's better. I liked Heidi's better. I liked Jada's better. So for them to then come out and be just so complimentary.
So congratulatory. I was like, yeah. Wow. I was like, what is going on? Like, am I high? Like, I don't understand.
Did I hang out with Chaka Khan right? before this? Like, what is going on right now? Okay, whatever. Fine.
I mean, I really did like the sheer blonde wig. I thought that was a nice contrast from the rest of the look. That was something that was very stunning to me. She never looks bad. I just didn't understand the next level. Gorgeous. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, this was definitely
Milan, Paris.
This was a point in time where they cut to Jan. And like as they were giving Gigi compliments, Jan's realizing, oh my God, I might be in the bottom. Like and if so, I might go home. Like mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a train. It's like a train coming. You know, you can't look away. I'm going to go back and look. And next time I'll report on this next week. How many times they cut to Jan while all of this was happening? It has to be at least half a dozen. I know that.
Oh, I forgot when was finally time for Chaka Khan to give her critiques of Jan's commercial. And Chaka Khan said it was just a little. And they just cut to Jan looking like, what did you just say? Like,
oh my God, that's amazing. I'm gonna have to rewatch the judging segment yeah. just to like now really look out for all of Chaka Khan's Chaka-isms, but all right. Sherry Pie is our next queen to walk the runway with the candlestick dead bride look. Brent, what did you think about Sherry?
I think the runway was definitely very fun. She's very into this, though, the theatrics of it all. I mean, like, if you're looking for the queen who's going to give you the best show on the runway, it's Sherry Pie. And I hate the fact that we have to give her compliments. I'd rather talk about the designer more than anything. I also feel like the show is falling into the trap, or maybe the show is letting us fall into the trap that as time goes on, we get a little less outraged about what happened with Sherry Pie. And I don't want to fall into that trap. So I'm really trying to check myself anytime she does something good, like to be like, okay, this is really about mm-hmm. the designers, Brent. Like, look at this look, look at this concept overall and give props to them, because I was living for this runway in particular. And overall, I felt like that it was definitely one of the tops of the week. As far as her, I mean, do you want to talk about her? Did we get?
I mean, I don't know what she was selling, yeah. but she was a queen I thought was actually going to do well. And I was like, God, I'm going to hate yeah. her commercial. And then I was like, oh no, I just hate her commercial. Yeah. Like, good. Thank you.
I had like no jokes for a while, as they pointed out. And I also thought it was me. Like, I'm like, oh wait, like, I know I don't like Sherry Pie. So like, is she being funny? And I don't know she's being funny. But then I was looking at the editing going, well, the editing isn't telling me that she's being funny. So I think I'm right here. Like, I think this is not as good as I think it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Aman, where did you fall?
Yeah, I would much rather just bake one of my own pies, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't get it. The runway was fun. Good on the designer.
I like the runway. Oh, we always like the runways. That's just, you know, she's sort of like similar to Jada. Like, I don't really feel like we're going to ever dislike anything she wears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amon, Heidi was our next queen, and she had the winning commercial, and I think my favorite runway look. What did you think about Heidi this week?
I loved it. I really did. And maybe I'm also falling into a little bit of a trap in terms of editing because of the fact that she has been sort of going through it for the past couple of weeks. And so I was primed and ready to want to root for her. And she did a good job. And I think that she sort of just like allowed herself to just be free and just be funny and just, and even if it was a little bit too much, like it worked. I think that she used her assets. She used the gap in her teeth. She used a lot of physical, like I love physical comedy. I love slapstick. I love all that kind of stuff. I love when people are dramatic. I love the melodramatics of it all. That's my bread and butter. I just love that kind of shit. And I think that Rue obviously responded well to that. You could hear him like hacking up a lung the entire way through her commercial. And that probably, you know, made me enjoy it a little bit more as well. I think that the concept is a little weak. I'm not going to lie. It was a little weak. And I think that Jackie and Jada definitely had her beat on that. But I thought that just the way that she delivered it was just very Heidi, very just like, I mean, crying. And they edited a tear into the damn little cup. I was just like, y'all are really doing the most. This is hilarious. So I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, like Liana, I really thought this was third in line. I mean, I love Heidi, but I really thought that Jada and with the tucking panties and the magic merkins of Jackie really superseded any concept that I could discern from what Heidi was giving us. I felt like that she was selling Heidi more than anything. It was just Heidi being Heidi and being funny, and that's great, but I didn't understand what the concept was. I mean, like, I know it's Tears of a Drag Queen and they came from a drag queen, all that, that's fine. But like so much of the time in the commercial, and it was a limited amount of time, again, a finite amount of time that you had, was her just crying and acting a fool. And I guess you want to put that on the same level as Jackie's amazing concept and Jada's comedic timing. I guess. OK, but I wasn't as here for it. I was happy she was in the top. She should have got her props again. This should have been like the Academy Awards, where the nomination is the prize. She should have been in the top, and that's all. And the prize, the real Oscar, should have gone to Jackie Cox or even Jada, but not Heidi.
I think her voice had a lot to do with it as well, because even Bob was laughing at her voice when they were filming. She's like, oh, just new Tears of a Drag Queen lotion. Yes, darling. Like, just, I just feel like the inflection probably took her. It's just one of those people that even when she says like a sentence, it's funny because of the way that it sounds. So, but yeah, I get it. Like, it definitely was not as, it was not as clear as, I mean, Jackie had everybody beat in terms of concept, but I just don't know if she had everybody beat in terms of flavor.
And Heidi is just a funny, interesting person to watch on television. So regardless of what Heidi is doing, I will be entertained by her. And so this was just sort of another example of that. But I think in terms of the actual challenge that was put in front of them, I agree with Brent. I think Jackie should have won. I think Heidi was probably my third favorite. I thought the hair loss at the end was really funny. The tears were funny.
That was a good bit.
But yeah, but like, it was fine. And, you know, the 96 cents, the Club 96 reference.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was nice. That was nice.
Yeah, that was really good. And that was funny. But, yeah, it didn't seem to be as sort of tightly packaged as I think Jackie's was in this circumstance. But that being said, oh, my gosh, her runway look was amazing, Brent. I was gagging.
Again, I'm with Amon. Like, I was so prepared for her to be sort of blasé. Like, and I'm rooting for her. So when this came out, I was like checking myself, going like, am I like? Because this is amazing, and I can't believe, like, is it amazing as I think it is? Because I think it's pretty amazing. Like, for her to walk out in something like that was just blowing me the fuck away. And I'm so glad to hear that you guys are on board with, well, at least Liana, you're on board with the runway for Heidi, because if there was one part of her entire episode that made me okay with the fact that she got the win, it was the runway. I'm on.
Yeah, I mean, she looked amazing. I mean, I loved that wide brim around the shoulder type deal, and the hair, and just the way that it accentuated her figure and then poofed out at the very bottom. It was a stunning, stunning look. I'm really, every time that she comes out and she looks good, I'm always gagged because I don't know what it was about preseason, y'all, but I really felt like she was going to be the second one to go. The way that she was like,
well, she's got
answering
no
some of the questions in her interviews. She made it seem like she was like nothing, like she was shit. And so every time I see something good, I'm like, what the hell was that act about? Right. Like, what was that all about?
Yeah. Let me ask you this question while we're here, while we are here. Do you think that she could win?
I don't
I'll be like Rob. I'm going to paint the picture for you to get her the win. Okay. She's got to make the top four. All right. I think what could happen is this. I think that the top four will probably be, again, I could be, this cast is so talented, and I am, cast is so talented, and I,
yeah,
I'm
before
into,
this week, I would have thought that Jam would have been there,
yeah,
so
exactly,
it's really weird.
Exactly, so, like, anything can happen, okay, but if, we'll even talk about this in Untucked, what are the top four, and so, I think they think that the top four is Gigi, Sherry, Jada, and maybe Widow, maybe Crystal, like, that fourth spot is weird, but let's just assume it's Widow for a second, okay, Widow's in the top four, if Heidi goes home in the five spot and they disqualify Sherry Pie, and now I could see them using some editing tricks where they actually remember what happened on RuPaul's Drag Race season 4 All Stars, where it was they never shot the tie and then they edited it to make it look like a tie through the magic of editing. And yes, it was really clunky, but still it was a tie. I think they can do something where they don't even send home Sherry at the final five, where they just sort of stop the show. And then we see that Heidi has made the final four because Sherry has been disqualified. With Heidi in a final four lip sync competition, anything can happen. So to me, that is the road for her. I mean, yes, she could make the top four on her own merit, but I also think that Sherry Pie being disqualified gives her an opening if she is the fifth queen to be sent home. Like, I mean, a fifth queen as in the fifth ranked queen. I feel like that they might bring her in to fill that spot and give her a chance at the win.
How many queens are left now? Like, with Jan already being gone, it's...
Okay, let's see. So we are down to 7 because this was our final 8. So we're down to 7 now. So that means that essentially 2 more queens. Like, I mean, Sherry would take us to our top 6 if you take out Sherry. Because we have Jackie, Jada, Gigi, Heidi, Widow, and Crystal are our queens that are left.
So we already know that it's more than likely that Sherry has already made the top 4 in the original cut.
Yep.
But she's been taken out now. So there's 3 that are already there, like no questions asked. One of them is probably Gigi, because, I mean, let's just be real.
I agree.
The other one is probably Jada.
Yeah.
So there's one more that's probably going to be there, no questions asked.
See?
I don't know. That's interesting.
But she's, like I said, there's 2 ways for her to get there. She could be the number 4, and then she could also be the number 5 and become the new number 4 if Sherry gets when Sherry gets disqualified. So, I feel like there's a couple different ways this could go. But to answer my own question, I feel like Heidi could win.
I think she can there's definitely an avenue that I see her making it to the final 4, especially given the Sherry Pie situation. What I'm trying to think is, you know, of these queens then, because, you know, we still have Jada, who's an amazing queen, and Gigi, who could turn it in this final lip sync. You know, who out of them could really win the whole thing now looking at it from the finale lip sync perspective, right? Because who are the queens? Okay, Sasha Velour, Aquaria, and... oh my God.
Shea Coulee.
I'm talking about the winners. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, my God. What? Why am I blanking?
Sorry, what are you looking for? I was looking at something. So you're looking at Shea Coulee,
Evie
Oddly. Aquaria.
Evie, I'm thinking of the winners.
Okay.
The people who won in the lip syncs. So we had Evie, Aquaria, and Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, I'm trying to think, like, what is the common thread between them that, like, we can now look for? Like, I'm looking for a pattern, y'all. Like, I'm trying to think, is it because they, like, pulled some interesting, cool, creative trick out of their book? You know, like, is that what
we saw? The audience loved them. And they, you know, they
that too.
They responded well to them.
Yeah, I think out of those three, that Sasha is the only oddball because of the fact that she did pretty well throughout her season. I think that Shay, if we're going by report card, I think Shay might have had one more win over her because it's always confusing because they. Okay, because they won some of them they won together.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she just destroyed her with the rose right. petals. And then with Aquaria, she actually had quite a few, I think, under her. I think she had quite a few wins under her belt. So a lot of people were sort of just expecting. And then she didn't do bad in any of the lip sync. So it was just like, okay, then just give it to her. And then for Evie Oddly, I mean, her and Brooklyn were sort of neck and neck throughout the entire season. But then she sort of, I think she edged her out just a bit in the lip sync because of the whole, you know, theatrics of it all. Mm-hmm, so, yeah. I mean, if we're going by lip sync, I mean, then I take that back. I guess Sasha and Evie sort of, they just edged them out in that very last moment. And that could happen again.
Who's the most creative? I feel like that there's a lot of creativity on the stage. I mean, we had a bit of a stop down here because we're talking about this. But like, I do feel like that in some ways, Sasha, it's sort of like the first season of Survivor where like the secret wasn't out yet. You know, like they had right. that final four lip sync. They had never done it before. And Sasha was like Richard Hatch. She was the only one who was prepared. She knew what right. she was going to do. No one else, everyone else was expecting it to be some other way. And right. she
just a regular old yeah, lip sync.
She
yeah.
came out there and took advantage of it and blew them the fuck away and basically demanded the crown. Okay. And then, but then the season after that, the secret's out. And everybody knows, okay, I need to have a reveal. I need to have an unexpected reveal. The audience is going to be expecting that, so I need to do something else that's expected. Like they know. So I do feel like that results recently have been more to form, and maybe we wouldn't get a what-the-fuck win with, like, you know, Heidi and Closet. But I think there's a universe, like, if you're, like, living in the Marvel multi-universe of it all, I think there's a universe where this happens.
yeah. No, I could see it. I could definitely see it.
All right.
Let's talk about our final two queens here. So first up is Widow, who was put in the bottom this week, Brent.
Boy, Widow, honey. Like, I'm rooting for you, but what happened here? Like, there was no... Where are the jokes? Where are the jokes?
I honestly forget what the product was. What was she selling again?
I remember because it's like Faute, but it's Throat-tay.
Because it had the little accent over the E. Yeah. Throat-tay. Yes. And you can use it for your gagging reflex and whatever the hell she was selling. There was no jokes here. It's like she got really in her head and just wanted to give a serious commercial and sort of forgot that she's on RuPaul's Drag Race and she can have a grand old time. And like, maybe she's too worried about her place in the competition. I don't know, but this wasn't funny. And there was the concept was lame. And again, it was sort of like Jan with like the magic spray that'll do everything for you. And like, what's the concept again? Amon can't remember the concept. That means the concept was probably terrible.
At least Jan moved around. Like, I think Widow really just kind of sat there the whole
Widow
time.
Widow thought she was Oprah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oprah.
I just feel like she's not, I mean, Widow's not really a funny queen to begin with, so she already has that hurdle to jump over. I think that she's such an intense person because of all the things that she's been through, and sometimes that can really, you know, I mean, not to be like an armchair psychologist, but I just feel like, you know, when you've been through so much in your life, sometimes even if you're able to overcome all of it, you lose a little bit of that joy. You know what I mean? You lose a little bit of that that magnetism or that like that lust
je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, like you just because you're so focused on okay, like what am I gonna like? What else is gonna be potentially gonna take away something from me? You know what I mean? And sometimes maybe that can get in the way of your creativity and get in the way of you just, you know, living in the moment. And maybe it was just that's what happened here, where she just couldn't land any jokes because she was just so focused on getting through it as opposed to having fun with
Amon,
it.
I know we said this as a joke, but I wish that Widow had done the commercial as Oprah. That would have been so much better.
Do an Oprah impression.
She doesn't have to be Widow. She can be Oprah and like have fun with it and make fun and then like, but sell a product at the same time. Because Oprah does hawk shit sometimes. Like, I mean, I don't know if we would have let her do that, but I would have loved that. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been good. It just fell flat. And it was kind of sad because I'm rooting for Widow, you know? And so wanted her to do well.
She's
and
the
this
queen
one I thought was...
I'm sorry. She's the queen I identify with the most. I identify with you. I get you, Mama. I love you. Like, I just, like, I want to, like, give her a hug and be like, I'm rooting for you, you know?
Well, what did you think about her runway look, Brent, then? Were you rooting for her when she walked the runway?
Yeah, she looked great on the runway. I mean, again, we talked about this. Nobody looked bad on the runway. Yeah. Widow looked great. I love the headpiece. And then, of course, she took it off when Shaka Khan came in. She's like, I can't believe I'm meeting Shaka Khan without my headpiece. And then, but again, she also ages herself a little bit. I thought that this added about 15 years and 15 pounds to her aesthetic. So and then it's not good, but on the other hand, she looked great. So what? Who the hell am I?
Well, talk about adding like 1500 years. Crystal Method's runway look was like literally a dead bride.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Where's that?
Which was incredibly creative. I thought Crystal's her commercial and the look were just really creative and silly and fun. The moment that I laughed the most was when she was like
hammering
the mullet. Especially because in her, when they were doing the filming with Bob Harper, she's like, I need a table I can do science on. And it was like this wooden desk looking
like,
thing.
That's a science
so
table?
Not sciencey. Yeah. It was really great.
Wait.
And should, her magic mullet.
Should Crystal have won?
I don't know. I was
she's
actually
definitely
forgetting
a dark
about
horse.
Crystal until just now.
Because like I'm remembering her runway and I'm remembering her commercial and I'm like, maybe she should have won because she was really good here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I was surprised that Rue didn't enjoy it as much as he did, because I mean there hasn't been a week where he hasn't talked about her hair. And you gave so many props to Heidi for taking your idea during the workroom. Well, bitch, you've been giving her idea since week one about her damn mullet, and she worked it. So like, I was kind of surprised that she, you know, Rue wasn't as enthusiastic about it as he has been in the past. But maybe he didn't want to be, because maybe he didn't want to make it seem like he was showing her favoritism, because he's been, you know, rocking the build of the DeBarge thing the entire time. So I don't know, but I definitely think that she was the dark horse in this competition, and she did a lot better than I thought she was going to do.
Yeah, and she was very thematic throughout the whole thing with the 80s filter and the 80s mm-hmm. graphics and all of that put together. That felt like, oh, okay, Crystal has this clear idea of what she wants. I thought it was mm-hmm. a little bit rockier than Jackie's was, but at least she had a vision and she was doing whatever she could to kind of execute that vision when she was doing her, you know, her commercial, which I thought was fun. And yes, I saw a comment somewhere, I can't remember, but it was somebody said Crystal, this was like Crystal playing her hidden immunity idol with a mullet gag.
Yeah.
Which I thought was so funny.
Perfect.
Yes. And this runway, I mean, like, it was so creative. And I know that, you know, we've seen sort of zombie-esque looks on the runway before, but I love that it sort of, like, because of the makeup and sort of the way she did it, it broke up the monotony of the all black on the runway. And it was still black, but mm-hmm. there was a little bit of light and shade to it.
Mm-hmm. And she had the, I don't know what to call it, dust is not the right word, but like the white makeup.
I think it was like baby powder or something that she put in there.
Yeah, that was like a cool little detail. So mm-hmm. I loved it. All right. On the runway, we also get the classic who should go home and why question. Amon, did you think anybody, I mean, everybody said Widow, except for Widow. Who said Jan?
Okay, so this is where my big brother survivor brain kicks
in. Yeah, me too.
They all stupid. Y'all should have said Gigi. Every single one of y'all should have said Gigi. I don't care how well she's been doing. I don't care how many competitions she has won. This is one of the rare weeks in which this bitch is in the bottom. Y'all should have taken that moment to pounce. I don't care if this is a regular season and it's not All-Stars. Take the moment. Pounce. Pounce. Because obviously, I mean, I don't know what Rue would have done in that situation. I really don't. But a piece of me has to believe that if all of those queens were like, not even if all, but if a lot of the queens, if half of the queens were like, you know what, Gigi's just wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. I at least laughed a little bit with the rest of them. Gigi's were the jokes. If they had done that, Rue might have actually maybe thought twice. Maybe. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you. First of all, I mean, I think we expect this of these queens, and, you know, they don't watch reality television like I do, or like we do. So I guess I can sort of excuse that, and especially because this isn't All Stars, so maybe they're not thinking in that vein, and I get that. However, I will say this, that when she got to Widow, and she asked her widow who should go home, because we saw this happen in the second or third episode when the French queen, I can't even remember, Nikki, said who should go home, and Nikki said me, and Rue hates that more than anything. If you say you should go home, Rue will send you home. So I was literally yelling at the screen because Rue said, widow, what say you? And Widow is like boo-hooing and crying, and like literally about 10 seconds goes by. I am literally on my couch going, don't say yourself. Don't say yourself. Don't say yourself. And then when she said Jan, I was like, thank you. That's your out right there. You said the name that you needed to say.
I didn't think that she was ever going to do that, because I think that she just has way too much pride for that. However, I will still say
she could have.
That she should have said Gigi, because she could have sent both of those bitches home.
No. If she says Gigi and Gigi ends up in the bottom, I feel like Widow goes home. No, maybe not with the lip sync, but you're really taking a chance there that anything can happen.
I'm bloodthirsty right now.
I know. You're trying to save yourself. Widow has been a front runner, I think. She won a challenge and she's been safe. So, like, I feel like she's at least in the conversation for the finals, and she ends up in the bottom. She has to say Jan here, because, you know, Rue has not been living for Jan, and Jan's commercial wasn't very good. And I, again, Liana, I was so pleased that she did not say herself. And I know you guys at home are thinking, oh, of course she didn't say herself. I don't know how many times we've watched RuPaul's Drag Race where the queens who are in danger do say themselves because they're trying to be nice. But Rue hates that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually think that's funny from a reality TV perspective of like, okay, if Widow's trying to save herself, like, what's the right move for the right person depending on their goal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Widow's
yeah,
trying
yeah.
to save herself, so she should say Jan. But if you are the other queens, yeah, throw Gigi under the bus. Like, this is your opportunity. Hooray! And you have the opportunity to just say, like, well, just based on the videos this week,
yep.
You know, it's such an easy sort of cop-out, but that's what you can go with. So this is actually kind of boring. I usually want more drama, and I just felt bad for Widow, to be honest here.
We had more drama than they did.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Well, the winner is announced as Heidi. We've discussed this at length where, you know, where there's some debate over who we thought should have won.
A lot of people did good here. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people did good. Exactly. And I think the comment of it's kind of like flipped on its head a little bit of who's been succeeding, especially with Gigi and Cherry Pie, with them being what I would say is in the bottom.
Yep, they're in the bottom
this week.
Yep.
But they're not in the bottom two. That spot is reserved for Jan and Widow, who lip sync to Chaka Khan's This Is My Night, Brent.
I mean, I love that we cut to Untucked. And I think they even might have edited it in a little bit in the show proper, where they cut to Jan and Jan's like, this is a Chaka Khan song. Widow's living for Chaka Khan. She's Chaka Khan's biggest fan. I might be in trouble here. I love the fact that the show didn't hide that from us, because anybody with a brain can look at this and go, this really might go the way that you think it's not going to go. Like Widow might actually be the favorite here with a Chaka Khan song. But then you see the results and you're like, yeah, she won that. I mean, like, to me, it wasn't. I'll say this. Jan really surprised me. Jan did a great job. She really fought her ass off. She threw everything but the kitchen sink out there. And maybe that was part of the problem. Maybe there was too much. But on the other hand, I don't know. Like, she's in such a rough spot. By the way, I sent you the tweet thread from Jan where she talked about the fact that she feels like she's in a box because she's trying too hard. But don't you want to try hard in life? Like, she doesn't want to be too much of a try hard, but it's such a trap for her. And I really feel for Jan. I feel for Jan now, and I feel for Jan in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aman, what did you think about the performance here at the final lip sync?
It was So the RHAP, or not the RHAP, but the sequester mini was happening this night, and I was like, I came downstairs as I was watching to get some water from the kitchen, and my roommates were watching the episode in the living room, and I walked in at this point, and I was like, wait, Jan's in the bottom too? So I had to get over that at first, and then when I saw Shaka Khan sitting there, I was like, and Widow's in the... I was like, oh no. Oh no, this is just not going to work out in the way that a lot of Jan fans are going to want. And I agree, she definitely pulled out the stops, but sometimes, I mean, it's all, you just always harken it back to like, and not every song is like this, but you just always think about oh my goodness, why am I having a brain fart?
I don't know who you're
looking
for.
Latrice Royale.
Who?
Versus the other chick. Oh, I'm forgetting her name too.
Kenya Michaels.
Yes. Where Kenya is all over the place to an Aretha Franklin song.
Yeah.
Right. And while Jan isn't necessarily wrong for dancing hard, because This Is My Night is a dance track, there's a certain emotional earnestness to it as well that I feel like is lost when you're all over the floor and you're doing death drops and Shaka Khan is sitting there watching you too. You know what I mean? It's just, I really don't know. I don't know. She felt like she had to go all the way, but I just don't think that that's what the song called for.
I actually completely agree. When they first started to pull out for the lip sync, I was like, oh, thank God they're both stuck in these like big ass gowns.
Yes,
so they can't
yes.
do all of the tricks, especially with Widow. I was excited to see what she was going to do when she couldn't do death drops and things like that. And Widow was outstanding. I was really impressed with what she did. And then Jan takes off the dress. I was like, no, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I was promised. Like, it was clunky. And this is, I think, an example of working smarter, not harder. Like, okay, yes, in an ideal world, you work both smart and hard. Okay, that's your success to win. But here, it was just harder, not smarter. And I agree with you, Aman. I just felt like it didn't really match. And it felt out of place. And I think Widow won the lip sync here and deserved to stay.
Yeah, I can sympathize with Jan because she undoubtedly was... I mean, she's in her head all the time. But even more so in the situation... considering what happened in Untucked in that moment that Widow and Shaka Khan, I was just like, damn, like, I feel for her.
But I felt bad for Jan too, because as someone who also has been able to get a certain amount of success by working hard, like, you don't need to be smart to get a PhD, you just need to work your ass off. And like, that was I kind of feel Jan, and I associate with Jan, and I can understand where she's coming from. But at the end of the day, you know, this is a competition, and I think that Widow was the better competitor here. So
yeah.
All right, well, let's jump into Untucked. Brent, do you have anything that you want to talk about with Untucked?
No. Gotta think. Here, I'll say this. I've said this before. I really empathize with Jan, and I empathize with her even more when Shaka Khan comes back and sits down beside Widow and decides to have a heart to heart with her, because Jan knows it's probably her in the bottom two with Widow. And it's starting to feel like they're plotting against you. It's gotta feel like the show's plotting against you a little bit. You didn't get the win last week. You thought you were going to. And now the guest judge on the panel, it's her song coming up, and she decides to come and have a personal conversation heart to heart with Widow. Now,
yeah, it's like Raja last season. You got your mama coming. You got Rue calling you her child. You got your boyfriend on the TV screen. So, like, just consider this. You're getting encouraged. What the fuck is that about?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. For plastic.
Are you guys with me on this? Like Jan had to feel like the con was on here, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she talks about it in Untucked, too, you know? Yeah. And, like, that's what you mentioned. Yeah. So,
I feel like that's why I mentioned earlier at the beginning when we started talking about it. I was like, I felt like she knows like what the producers want her to say in these DRs. Like, I just feel so attacked and persecuted right now, but I feel like she still held her own through that. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, even while she got eliminated, like, She's like, I made it here. I made it to RuPaul's Drag Race. And yeah, it didn't work out, but like I did everything that I could and I'm proud of myself. And that's all you really can do, sis. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also just seems so weird for Jan to go at this spot. The fact that we're at the final eight and Jan is off my TV screen is like, what is even going on right now?
It's strange. It's really strange.
It's very strange. But then I also look at the rest of the competitors and I'm like, okay, yeah, I kind of get it.
Yeah,
I kind of
exactly.
get it.
Yeah.
So here we are. All right. Next week, we are getting the drag queen presidential debate political challenge of some sort. So we will have that to look forward to, which I think is going to be particularly interesting. It seems like we have some fun guests. Raven is going to be back too for the walkthrough for some reason. So we have that to look forward to. And I think that's everything, you guys. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get out of here. Aman, how are you? What are you up to? Talk to me.
I am good. You can always follow me at Aman Adwin on Twitter. Also, I said this last time, but my podcast with Matt Liguori has officially launched. If you are stuck at home trying to figure out what to watch and you've already watched Glee, watch it again, bitch, because we have a Glee rewatch podcast that is right up your alley. So check that out.
And Brent, how about you causing more drama?
Please. Like see, I even get in trouble when I just say nothing. Like, I just say nothing and people come for me. What is up with my life, Liana? I can't win. But yes, we're having fun. I'm still promoting Sequester. For those of you who have been under a rock, I've been promoting Sequester and the great things that Audrey Middleton is doing over at sequesteraccess.com. We had a great Big Brother Canada versus Big Brother U.S. Game on Friday night, lasted for almost 6 hours and plus, and there was a lot of drama even after the fact, even with the little reunion that Taryn and Matt and Matt Liguori's on a lot of stuff, by the way. Just saying, it's like everybody has Matt Liguori with them. He's like a pop-up gay. He's everywhere. But yeah, me and Taryn and Matt were on the reunion with the Sequester cast yesterday. There's a lot of drama there, so you can go watch that at Taryn's Twitch stream, which is at twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, and you can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out, O-N-E. That's what I got going.
And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. For the RHAP BNB this week, we had Survivor contestant Lauren O'Connell as our guest. And oh my gosh, she was so much fun. Not gonna lie, I was not expecting her to be down for all the silliness and the fun and games, but she came, she brought it, and it was really, really enjoyable. So definitely check that out. Puya and I are podcasting about The Masked Singer. So that sing-along spectacular episode should be up. We're back to regular coverage next week. And I covered the final episodes of the US version of Lego Masters with my sister. So that's episodes 8, 9, and 10. That should also be out in the reality TV wrap-ups feed. Become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Check out Rob Has a Podcast on patreon.com. Leave us your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thank you so much. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.